Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Nepal, historical account of the great victory against mining company which affected the environment and biodiversity. In April 2015, the Supreme Court of Nepal directed the government to shut down the controversial Godawari Marbles factory located in the Ladikpur district in a move to protect the environment and biodiversity. The justices stated that the factory's operations, including quarrying and extraction works, caused adverse impacts on the local environment and threatened the existence of globally important flora and fauna. This was the result of a relentless environmental and legal struggle that ProPublic Friends of the Earth Nepal had started in 1992, a year after its emergence as an organization. This struggle went on until reaching its goal, shutting down the mining company's operations in the project. Real World Radio interviewed activist Nripen Rayung of ProPublic Friends of the Earth Nepal to learn the details of that case, one of the great victories of environmentalism in his country. The talk was given within the Sustainability School of Friends of the Earth Asia Pacific and the Biennial General Meeting of Friends of the Earth International, held during the last week of November in the Indonesian Regency of South Lampung, province of Lampung. Nripen Rai is 22 years old and speaks with a conceptual and political clarity that is striking for his age. We use this opportunity to talk about his assessments of the Sustainability School and his impressions of the BGM, the work of ProPublic Nepal, the situation of human rights defenders and environmentalists in his country, among other things.
Real World Radio is sharing the table here in South Lampung in Indonesia with Nripen Rajang. He is a member of ProPublic Friends of the Earth Nepal. First of all, Nripendra, welcome to Real World Radio. It's a great pleasure to be with you here.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay, first, so you ended the Sustainability School of the Asia Pacific region of Friends of the Earth International yesterday. And I would like to know your impressions. What are the most important conclusions that you get from this important moment from you in the region?
Firstly, regarding the School of Sustainability, it was our first for our region. So, it was the first, it was very good. Firstly, we got to know, be a part of some process of the BGM, which is very good. And secondly, we got to mostly know about the campaigns that has been going out throughout the region, especially how young people are involved in various campaigns that has been going throughout the region. And we have developed a sense or a way how to engage each other in various campaigns that has interlinked throughout the region. So I think that was very, very important for us, just to know how we can help each other throughout the region to develop our campaigns and make it an international issue, not just a national issue. So it would boost our campaigning. So that has been very good.
Nripendra, can I ask you, how old are you?
I'm 22 years old.
You are really young. And how you are living this experience in the BGM here, seeing what's happening with the dozens of countries of Friends of the Earth International in the different regions in their countries? How are you relating what is happening in Asia Pacific with other continents?
More than Asia Pacific, I would like to speak on my own region because mostly the things that we are discussing here, especially regarding human rights defenders and the issue of patriarchy, and we have been in the system for a long time. We faced 10 years of civil clash with the government to overthrow the monarchy, so we have been through this process. We have been through this process from 10 years now. After the 10-year struggle, it's the 10 years of peace building that we have been facing on there. The countless issues of human rights defenders in our country, how to get justice for the people that actually fell victim to the war, not just the people who are actually part of the war, but who got their life and property damaged during the course of war. So it has been a very relatable experience, and I have also also worked on worked with people who are actually part of the war, the struggle, the guerrilla army. So it has really been an experience that has helped me get the international context of these things. And also regarding the patriarchy, we have been working on that also in Nepal. We have had several cases related to that, and we have brought legal changes. But one thing that we were really struggling on is the structural change. I think I have got a better perspective regarding that in this BGM, from this BGM, how to change from grassroots level, or how to implement the change rather than just having the change in law, how to make it a more practical experience, I must say.
Rupendra, and did you have the opportunity to participate in the session with the lady from the World March of Women, which are invited here in the BGM? Did you like the experience?
Unfortunately, due to School of Sustainability, I was not here to be a part from World March of Women. But I have had the opportunity to work with the World March of Women from Nepal, and we have had collaborated in two of their programs. One was their World March throughout the worldwide, which had in Nepal also. So we have collaborated with them, and the collaboration experience for me in Nepal has been quite good.
Okay. Also, now I want to get a bit deeper in your country, in Rupendra. And we know, and we have been conversating about that. You let me know some important facts about the case that ProPublic, Friends of the Earth Nepal, has won against a mining project in your country, and a case and a fight which lasted more than 20 years. So, first of all, I would like to ask you the name of this mining project and the company which was in charge of that, and please let us know a bit more about this fight, what happened during the years.
Okay, so the company was called Godavari Marble Industries, and we filed a petition against it. It was actually a two-case process. The first case was filed by some of my seniors in our organization, and it collaborated with another organization to firstly file the case, because we firstly did the research on how the whole industry was affecting the area, and then we did a research on the biodiversity that was living in the area, and we filed a case saying that the whole industry was affecting the biodiversity haphazardly. It was having a very, very bad impact on the environment.
When was the file presented? Which year?
The first case was filed in 1992, and we got the verdict in 1995. But it was sort of a win-lose situation for us, because we didn't get the mining company shut down. We only got them to, you know, review some of the procedures and to make the company more environment friendly as per the decision of the court.
And you had as a purpose to shut down the mining project?
Yeah, after that we just continue watching the company and would it implement the decision or not, and we actually hoped that it would not, because then it would give us the base to file a follow-up case that to shut the company as a whole, because it did not order the verdict of the court. So I must say the company, by not following the order of the court, helped us in some way, and we were able to file a follow-up case regarding this on 2002. After the company did not do anything, and still the government extended the lease till 2021. So we filed a follow-up case, and we showed them the statistics of how they were endangering more than 500 species of butterflies, more than 200 species of animals living there, more than 300 species of plants living there. So we just showed them, but somehow it took us more than 10 years to realize that all these facts and figures, all the reports would somehow not be enough. So what we actually did was we urged the judges to go on a site visit of the place itself, and we showed that how in 20 years of time a hill that was green, that was lively, full of life, just had become a brown, barren land. And after we were able to show them on that, I think we got one of the most pioneer cases in environment in our country, and we got one of the most biggest decision, and we got the industry shut down.
When was that?
It was in 2015.
Okay, so the company is not operating right now and the project is down.
Yeah, the company has not been operating right now. We have managed to close it down altogether.
Okay, and Rupendra, that's a very important case and a victory for you, in, and not only for you, for the environmental movement in your country. I would like to ask you about ProPublic. Are you a big organization? Where are you based in Nepal? Do you have presence in several parts of the country? How it operates?
I personally feel that we are a big organization. We might not be every time big in times of number, but we are very big in terms of the work we do, because we work on more or less every aspect of the development in our country. We work on environmental issues, we work on gender issues, we work on development issues, we have worked on good governance, we have launched various programs for community upliftment and skill development. We are currently working on peace building and development. So regarding every matter, we have worked all throughout Nepal. So we've worked in various places. We just try to manage and just include every part of Nepal in some projects or the other, while giving training on, for example, I can give you a recent example. We have been giving training on mediation, community mediation process, and psychosocial counseling in community. So for the first phase, we mostly emphasized on the eastern and the middle part of Nepal, and then we went to the western part of Nepal. So we try to involve every part of the country, and throughout various projects, actually ProPublic was established in 1991. So from there till now, throughout our various programs, we have managed to capture almost every part of the country through some programs, or establishing a regional office for a few years. Like that, we have managed to capture the whole country and work there.
The human rights defenders issue is a very huge one in your country. What's happening with the environmental defenders, the human rights defenders? What's happening with them in your country? What are they facing?
This context has been with us for the last 20 years, I must say. Last 10 years regarding the justice they should get. And before that, the initial 10 years about the threats, the security threats of the person. Because at that time, we had a guerrilla war going on with the people, Maoist group in our country, and the government. So the situation was very, very deadly at that time, because in the major parts of the country where the government actually had control, people were quite safe. So in our headquarters, I must say, we were feeling quite safe. But in our regional offices, and whenever we had to visit our regional process offices, the situation was quite hard. People were getting kidnapped, people were getting killed, and all of this was happening. But the problem now for us is, like, this is a quite a political issue right now. So we have been trying to move it through courts, we have trying to lobby it, but it's a very much political issue, because the main leaders of the rebel group then are now have turned into political parties, and they are now in our national politics. So what they are urging for, amnesty against all the activities they have been done, because they claim that it was for the democratic process. But what we are saying is that no, it cannot be an excuse. The bringing on change cannot be an excuse for inhuman behavior. We understand if you attack only the army, but human rights defenders, environment activists, local people working there, any excuse for killing them cannot be taken. So, and they should be punished.
Okay, and Rupendra, finally, any other issues about environmental issues, as you said before, that you would like to strengthen environmental conflicts, for example, in your country, that in which ProPublic Friends of the Earth Nepal has work done on it?
Yeah, one thing, we have worked on a lot of issues, but I think some of the issues, I think a little more work is done. But regarding our political and social situation, I think some more work needs to be done. I can give you a few examples. Like, we had a campaign against tobacco usage and use of it in public places. So we had a case filed against it. We won it. But the implementation is not very good about that.
And the case is, it was against whom?
It was mainly against tobacco companies and tobacco users, because they would use it haphazardly in any place. And the problem we had is pollution due to that, the air pollution as well as the waste management pollution we had. And majorly it was that. And another case that I would really like to work on some more would be pollution of rivers in our country. There has been pollution in most major rivers in our country.
Rivers.
So we have worked on that, and we have managed to actually get a verdict on the court saying that the government should start cleaning up activities. But till now they have started campaigns, but they have not worked very well. So it has been like 4-5 years that since we have won, and we have been lobbying for the government and the bureaucrats in the region to work for it, make plans and actually implement it. But every time we get reports is only of planning, there's no implementation. So I think we will more lobby for the implementation part now.
Okay, it was Nripen Rajang. He is a member of ProPublic Friends of the Earth Nepal and has been participating here in South Lampung in the Sustainability School of Asia Pacific Region of Friends of the Earth International, and also in the Biennial General Meeting. Nripendra, thank you very much. You have been very nice.
Thank you for having me here and giving me the opportunity to speak.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.